Hey friends, if you have been following along on Instagram, you've already probably seen a few of the hints that I've dropped, but I am so excited to share with you guys that tomorrow, January 29th, we are finally launching something special at West Coast Catholic for your Lenten season. I wrote a Lent devotional called Pierced, which is rooted in Christ's divine mercy, created for anyone who wants this season to truly transform them. It's for the woman who's tired of starting Lent strong and then fading halfway through, or for the woman who just doesn't even know what to fast for or what to pray with, but still wants to live Lent with great purpose. And truly, it's just for anyone who's ready to actually let Jesus meet her in the messy, broken, and tender places of her heart and find refuge in his mercy. So alongside the Pierced Lent devotional, we're releasing the whole Lent collection, which I can't share all the details to yet, but every piece you already know is always designed to help you enter into Christ's passion, to be united to his wounds, and experience his mercy in a real personal way this Lent. And I truly believe this could change how you experience those 40 days of Lent. So trust me, you don't want to miss it. Make sure you're signed up for our text club to get first access. I dropped the link in the show notes to sign up, and I cannot wait to walk alongside you this Lent closer to the heart of Jesus more than ever before. Hey, I'm your host, Mari Wagner, and you're listening to the Ever Be Podcast, where faith meets lifestyle. I'm so excited you're here. Whether you're a new listener or a longtime follower, I know there's something here for you. Pull up a chair and listen in for insightful, real-life conversations and actionable steps on how to claim the full life God created you for. If you're a woman desiring to live a Christ-centered life in today's modern world, then this is for you. Welcome to Ever Be. Hello, welcome back to Ever Be and happy Wednesday. Today, it's just me on the podcast, your host, Mari Wagner, and I have my sweet latte made by my sweet husband this morning. It's actually not sweet. It has no sugar. I've been challenging myself to lower my sugar intake, and so I am no longer putting sugar in my coffee. And it's a little thing, but it's harder than you think, but you get used to it. Today, I want to share about truly just, I think, a life-changing experience that I'm going to carry with me for the rest of my life. And I just want to share what has been stirring in my heart since then. My husband and I, Trey, we got the blessing and opportunity to attend little Micah Kim's funeral weeks ago. If you don't know who little Micah Kim is, or if you haven't heard his story, maybe you've heard of Paul J. Kim. He is a really well-known Catholic speaker. He has spoken all over the world, and I think in all 50 states at some point. He's incredible, and he just talks about living the Catholic faith in your life. He loves Mary very much. He talks about Mary. One of his most famous talks is called Catholic Adulting, which is always very funny. He is also just hilarious and a comedian when he is sharing. He also does beatboxing. I mean, he's an incredible speaker. He's been at pretty much every Sikh conference that I have ever attended. So I have gotten the blessing of receiving his ministry throughout my life and have gotten to know him a little bit over the past couple years, just in the Catholic speaking world. And he shared over the Christmas season that his son was rushed to the hospital in a medical emergency. I actually believe it was just like a couple days before Christmas that he shared this. And in the end, what he shared that happened was that his son had contracted a very rare case of the flu. His son was only 5 years old. The doctor said it was the most rare case they had ever seen in their medical careers. And it sadly led to his son becoming septic, getting a seizure. And basically after 11 days in a coma, he was declared brain dead. And there was no way to bring him back. He had already passed. I'm sharing all the information that Paul has shared on his social media publicly. None of this is personal information. It's all information that Paul has shared himself. So I feel okay sharing that with everybody. But I followed along very closely. Every time Paul shared an update, he shared almost every day sharing how his son was doing, begging everybody, begging the world for prayers. I commented on all the videos telling Paul we were praying for him, and we prayed for Micah so much during those days and even after. And he shared on December 31st that little Micah had passed away and had gone to heaven to be with the Father. And what is so incredible about this story in the midst of this family's grief is that there have been reported miracles of like almost every day that little Micah has been doing. So it is true that Micah is in heaven. As Catholics, we believe that anybody is in heaven is a saint. And one of the ways that our church confirms, right, that someone is in heaven is when you start seeing miracles happen. Now, to be canonized as a saint in the Catholic Church, that is a longer process. So little Micah isn't a canonized saint right now. But if you ask me, I have no doubt that he will be a canonized saint of our church during our lifetime, considering the number of miracles that are already happening. I don't know how the Vatican could not pay attention to this, right, and start an investigation soon. And I think that would literally make Micah the youngest canonized saint, which is absolutely incredible and just so beautiful. So when we got the invitation to attend Micah's funeral, we were so touched, so honored that the Kim family would want us to be there. To be completely transparent, I mean, we've met Paul a couple times and have had a few conversations with him in years, and he was on my podcast last year. So if you want to look up and search on Spotify or Apple Podcasts, I think the podcast was Everything You Need to Know About Mary. And he talked about Mary, and it was an incredible podcast. It's one of my top listened to episodes. But other than that, I mean, truthfully, we're not close family friends. And so when we got the invitation, we were a little surprised and just so honored that he thought of us. I think he might have just seen all of the support we were sharing on social media, sharing on my story, gathering people to pray for him and commenting on his reels about Micah and tuning into his lives, praying with him at the hospital. I think he might have just seen that prayerful support and appreciated that so much. He did tell us when we were there that he felt like God wanted us to be there, that we were meant to be there. So I don't know. I don't fully know why right now, in the fullness of God's plan, why God called us to be there, but I know that there's deeper reasons that maybe I'll uncover one day. But what I can say just from my experience is that it has been a completely very impactful experience. I mean, I could say life-changing. It has made such an impact on my heart. And I think in the way that I'm going to continue to approach life and live my life going on from here. So that gives you a little background and information as to like where I'm coming from and why I'm even talking about this little boy's funeral. So that I'm just going to have this be my ever be moment, you guys, because if y'all don't know our Everbe Moments, if this is your first episode or if you've missed a couple and you're coming back now, Everbe Moments is a segment we have at the beginning of the podcast now where we as in the guest and I, or I, share how God's been working in our life recently and just what are different God moments. How can we have the Lord's praise ever be on our lips? And this entire episode is just literally a whole Everbe moment. So that's just what we're going to dive into. So we were able to attend Micah's vigil on Thursday night, the night before the funeral, as well as the reception the night before, and then the funeral the next morning. And I'm going to try and share as best as I can, but sometimes I feel like I'm at a loss of words for what this was like. First and foremost, the witness of the Kim family was so impactful, was such a witness to everybody sitting in the pews at the vigil or at the funeral or at the reception, anybody that got to witness the faith and the strength and the vulnerability and just the faith, the strong faith of the Kim family in those days was absolutely a gift to me and to my faith, because truly, truly filled with the Holy Spirit, even in a time of such suffering and grief. It is natural to see a father bent over his son's open casket, weeping and broken. that is natural and human and so normal and so expected. And then the next moment to see him standing in front of his friends and family and exhorting a crowd on the reality of heaven and rejoicing the fact that his son is with the Lord and urging everyone to get right with Christ and live a life that is worthy of heaven, that is not human or normal. That is supernatural grace. That is supernatural grace that the Lord is imparting on Paul and his family to be able to have an eternal perspective of heaven and sainthood in the midst of the biggest grief a parent could ever experience. I mean, if we're talking about worst case scenarios, this is a worst case scenario. And he and his family are walking through this darkness with Christ in the light. They are walking in the light of Christ through the deepest darkness and deepest suffering that I am sure they have ever experienced in their lives. And it was the same after the funeral. I mean, during the funeral, there was still a sense of joy in the midst of the suffering, knowing that Micah is in heaven, knowing that we know heaven is real. As they were processing out Paul and his family, Paul raised his hands in praise towards the altar, singing songs of worship and praising the Lord as he's rolling his son out in his casket. And just the strength and faith that I witnessed there truly was so incredibly edifying for me, for my faith. So I'll just share some of the takeaways that have made such an impact in my heart. One of the things that Trey and I were reflecting on as we were sitting there being confronted with death makes you really confront what you believe. And we have to make a decision when faced with death. Do we believe what we believe? Do we actually believe what the church says is true, right? Do we believe in heaven and hell? Do we believe in what Jesus said gets us to heaven and to hell? Do we believe in Jesus's mercy? Do we believe in the saints? Do we believe in intercession, in the communion of saints? Do we believe that how we live our life on this earth actually matters and actually affects how we live our life in eternity? Those are really big truths and questions that we felt confronted with in those moments. And yes, like we do believe that this is true. We do believe what the church teaches is true, which means that yes, how we live our life matters every single day. And this was just like, this drove home for me in confession. Paul had a bunch of priests attend the vigil and the funeral, and he asked them all to offer confession Thursday night, the night before the funeral. Which I think was such a gift to his community and such a testament to Paul's conviction for living a life for Christ. And he kept saying, getting right with Christ, right? Like, get right with Christ. So I went to confession that night and I had that opportunity. And the priest that did my confession was from a town right next to Medjugorje. If you don't know what Medjugorje is, it's a little town in Bosnia where Our Lady has been appearing for a long time. She still appears there, I believe, every month and leaves a message with the visionaries. He asked me if I knew about Medjugorje.
If you're tired of scrolling through media that feels fake, goes against your values, or just feels like it's trying to sell you something, then I want to tell you about Verily. Verily cuts through the noise to elevate what's honest, real, and beautiful for the modern woman. They're the original no Photoshop AI model-free women's magazine, which I love, and they're committed to pushing back against the objectification of women. In both their digital content and their seasonal print magazine, Verily features fashion that's worthy of the women who wear and make it. Thoughtful writing on relationships and journalism that actually embraces nuance. When you become a member, you're not just getting great content, you're joining a community that's working to change women's media for the better. And if you ask me, I think 2026, we're going back to analog. So get yourself a magazine subscription. If that sounds like your kind of thing, you can join at verilymag.com/membership. Their latest magazine, The Courage Issue, is out now.
Are you trying to decide what to give up for Lent? Let this be your sign to join the Crux Lenten Challenge in the Ascension app. From Ash Wednesday to Easter Sunday, Father Columba Jordan will guide you through 4 simple daily challenges in scripture, prayer, exercise, and fasting. But don't worry, the Crux isn't literally just about starving yourself or lifting huge weights. It's actually just about encountering your weakness and the God who meets you there, while Father Columba helps you learn how to surrender your life more fully to him. To join, just download the Ascension app and get the free Crux action plan at ascensionpress.com/crux. And I said, yes, actually, Medjugorje is what brought my family back to the church. And I was able to visit Medjugorje when I was a college student studying abroad. And so he was very surprised that I had ever been. And he wanted to share that in one of the messages that Mary shares to the visionaries in Medjugorje is that as human beings, it's hard for us to grasp what this earthly life is like in comparison to eternity. And so the best way she can put it is that our life on earth, this time of our life on earth, in comparison to all of our eternal life, right? Because we are all going to live forever. It just depends where. Our life on earth compared to all of eternity is like the blink of an eye. So right now, just blink. That's how fast your life is on earth. And that put so much into perspective for me in that moment when the priest shared that in confession. So he looked at me and he's like, all of our earthly attachments, our sins, our shortcomings, our vices, all of these things that we grasp onto on earth, is that worth losing heaven for? Is that blink of an eye worth losing heaven for? And the answer is no, right? But it's so hard for us as humans in what we live in the day to day to grasp how short and almost insignificant, right, our life on earth is in comparison to eternity, while still holding true, right, the significance and weight that how we live here determines all of our eternal life. Whew, man, that was just like, that was a lot. That was like super hard hitting for me and super, Tim, for me, that kicked me in the butt in the best way. And since then, it has been in the back of my mind, it's not worth it for the blink of an eye. It's not worth it for the blink of an eye. Little things. It's helping me live in the littlest ways a more Christ-centered life, a more Christ-like life. In the simplest ways, like, okay, my husband is slurping his coffee again for the 100th time after I asked him to please not slurp his coffee. Is it worth picking an argument over that? Is it worth it for the blink of an eye? No. No, it's not. Or, oh, this person did something that bugged me and I have a temptation to go gossip about it to somebody else. Is it worth losing eternity for the blink of an eye? No. Or judging somebody, right? In my mind, even without saying anything out loud to anybody, judging somebody in my mind, is that worth it? Is it worth losing heaven for the blink of an eye? No. And I just remind myself that this person is made in God's image and likeness, and the Lord loves this person so much and delights in who they are. Who am I to judge them? Who am I to judge God's creation? Who am I to gossip? Who am I to critique my husband for little things, right? Like all of these things are little ways that we can strive for sainthood, little ways that we can put into perspective what is worth it and what is not to lose heaven for, right? And in the end, nothing is worth losing heaven for. Obviously, we can apply this to the big things too, to big mortal sins that are keeping us in chains, but even to the little things. And I think that's where I have seen the most fruit and the most change in how I'm approaching my day-to-day life. And then the other reflection that I had was, you know, on Thursday night at the vigil, it was an open casket, and seeing this little boy, it was such a weird feeling knowing that his earthly body was here, but dead, but that little Micah is more alive, than he has ever been in his entire life. Like kneeling in front of him and paying my respects to him and his family, I knew he was gone, and yet I knew he was more alive than any of us were. I knew he was more alive than we could ever be on earth. And I knew I was in the presence of a saint's body. And that is such an incredible gift, to be there in front of a saint's body. Trey and I touched our wedding rings to it so they could become relics. And it just made the communion of saints more real to me than it ever has in our entire lives. Because a saint all of a sudden wasn't this distant like character or legendary figure, but it was someone's son that I knew, someone I knew lived on earth, someone I know their family, and I get to know that they are in heaven. What a gift. What an incredible blessing that has been to me and in my life. And then lastly, just walking away with the exhortation and the beautiful, convicted, and passionate words Paul shared a few times over with me that was supporting him, was just like, we don't need to cry, right? My son is in heaven. My son is where I want to be. My son is where we all want to be. My son knows the face of Christ. And I remember thinking that as I saw little Micah's body on Thursday night at the vigil, I remember thinking, he knows what the face of Christ looks like. He's with him. Oh my goodness. Like, that just made me so emotional and just like hit me to the core. And just looking at this little boy and being like, Micah, pray for me. Please pray for me that I may know the face of Christ one day, that I may be able to spend my days in heaven alongside Christ like you are right now. You are where I want to be. Please pray for me. Please show me what it is like to live a Christ-centered life, what it is like to live a life worthy of heaven, that I may be a saint one day alongside you. And so Paul encouraging all of us to rejoice in the truth of heaven, to rejoice in the truth of the communion of saints, and to live our lives worthy of heaven, to get right with Christ, to be honest with ourselves. What is attaching us to this worth? What is keeping us away from Christ? What is making us turn to sin? Get rid of those. Like, it's not worth it. Take an honest look at your life right now and think, what or who is pulling me away from God? Maybe it's a vice. Maybe it's a habit that we have. Maybe it's a person in our life. Maybe it's a relationship that we have. It is not worth losing heaven over it. So the judgment to you, go to confession, have an honest look at your life, and pray. Meet the Lord in prayer every day and ask him, how do I become a saint, Lord? What do you want for me in my life? How can you use me for your glory, for your kingdom? How can you refine my soul so that I may walk in your ways and be a light of Christ to those around me, and so that I may know you and know your face one day in heaven? Friends, heaven is real. Heaven is real. The communion of saints are real. They are alive, and they are hearing us, and they are praying for us. The miracles reported from Micah's intercession are incredible. Cancer tumors that were detected before being completely gone. Doctors literally being like, what happened to the tumor in your body? It is gone. I can't find it anymore. There is no cancer. So many people around the world that don't even know Paul or have a relationship with Paul reaching out to Paul to say, your son appeared to me in my dream and prayed over me. He was wearing a white robe. He prayed over me and I woke up healed the next morning. So many prayers like that, you guys. Women who have not been able to conceive, now pregnant because of Micah's intercession. So many beautiful miracles. So if there is a miracle in your life that you need, if you need greater faith, if you need healing, pray to Jesus through the intercession of Micah and ask little Micah to pray for you. Paul has posted a novena prayer that he has created and has gotten approval by different bishops and cardinals that it is okay to pray this for our personal devotion. So I will try and link it in the show notes. I'm sure I can find a post of his or a photo. I will link it in the show notes so that you can pray it. Go follow him. I believe his handle, let me look it up really quick on Instagram, is at HeyPJK. That's Paul J. Kim. Go just see his posts, read about the miracles, and I hope that they inspire you. I hope that this episode inspired you and convicted you. I'm so honored that I got to be there, and I'm so excited just to see the fruit that this will carry throughout my life. Little Micah, pray for us. All right, let's get into our Everbee Answers segment for today, where I answer your questions. Today, we are going to answer three questions, one here in the Everbee segment, and then the other two on our after party for our Kingdom Club community, as always. So questions that are being asked today are you involved with any groups or ministries at your local parish? What is the best relationship advice you can give to avoid temptation and sin? And how to wait well after a good first date when no second date is scheduled yet. Love all these relationship questions. So we'll get into the two relationship ones at the after party. And so on here, I'll just talk about how I'm involved with any groups or ministries at my local parish. So truthfully, I'm not very involved at my local parish besides leading a Bible study and walking with women in my Bible study. So you could say I am involved in the parish in the sense that I am investing in women that go to my parish and walking with them in their faith journey and evangelizing in that way. But in terms of like a specific group at our parish, I haven't yet got involved, but I want to. There's been different things that I have definitely considered that I think that I could really offer to the parish. I would be interested in doing like the kids' religious education. I love kids and have always worked with kids ever since I started working as a teenager. All of my jobs have always been in childcare. My mom teaches. She's like the family ministry director, whatever, of our home parish. And so she handles all of like the sacramental prep for the kiddos. And she used to teach the religious ed classes. And I would always go to those with her as like a middle schooler and even as a high schooler sometimes to kind of help and be an assistant. I wouldn't always go, but I was there often as her assistant. And so I loved just seeing how you can teach little kids aspects of the faith and help them to know and love the Lord. So that's something that I'd be interested in doing. Another thing too, which I think is not directly at our parish, but I know someone at our parish has is involved in an organization that walks with women in crisis pregnancies on college campuses. I would love to get involved with that as it's very close to my story. My mom got pregnant with me in college and decided to keep me. Obviously, thank God she made a great decision. And so, yeah, I think I would love to walk with women who are experiencing a similar journey to what my mom did and just be able to offer encouragement and support and inspiration in any way that I can. Another thing I've thought about is like the flowers. Someone, there's got to be like a flower ministry, right? Like someone does the flower arrangements at the church and I love floral arrangements. So maybe one day that's something I can do. And then my friend and I are in the midst of figuring out a really amazing marriage ministry that we want to start at our parish. So that might be coming. So this answer is basically all the ways that I'd like to get involved in my parish. One of the things that I'm already doing, which is the Bible study, which I know is enough, right? Like I know that like leading a Bible study is already a really good thing that you can do for your community. But I do want to get more involved. But that's my honest answer. So hopefully that is fun for you guys to hear or helpful to you to kind of figure out ways that you can get involved in your parish. And we'll catch you on our after party with Trey and I, and we'll get into these fun relationship questions. Thanks for being here, you guys. Thanks for listening all the way to the end. If you're still here, make sure that you submit a 5-star review if you love what you hear on Apple Podcasts or wherever you listen to podcasts. See you next week. So non-toxic skincare and makeup and the clean beauty world is kind of blowing up right now. I feel like everyone's talking about it.
But if we're being honest, I know it can feel super overwhelming because you want cleaner ingredients, but you don't know what brands you can trust. So you're like, where do I even start? Or maybe you've already tried a clean makeup brand before, and an hour later you looked in the mirror and thought, why did this already melt off my face? I have been there, okay? For a long time, I wanted non-toxic products that actually worked, that stayed on, that looked good, and didn't feel like I was compromising my health. And honestly, I lost all hope in clean beauty until I found Crunchy, I think like almost 3 years ago now. I absolutely love Crunchy for this reason. Their skincare and makeup are genuinely non-toxic. They are of the highest tier of non-toxic standards that you can find. No endocrine disruptors, no synthetic fragrances, no sketchy ingredients, nothing that will cause cancer, but they still perform beautifully. Their makeup lasts, their skincare feels luxurious, and it actually supports your skin and your hormone health instead of fighting against it, right? Like, why would we want to fight against our body with our beauty products? That's just not right. So I can truly share from experience that I have been using their skincare and makeup for years and haven't looked back once. I've used makeup in weddings, and I use their skincare literally every day, and my skin has literally never been better. If you want to try clean beauty this year and get started on your non-toxic journey, Crunchy makes it really easy to start. They have actually increased their new client discount to 15% off and free shipping, which is their best offer yet. And this applies to any new clients that have an order of over $50, which it's really easy to get there. So if you've been wanting to clean up your routine without feeling overwhelmed or disappointed, this is a great place to begin. You can shop Crunchy through the link in my show notes and get 15% off your first order plus free shipping when you use my link and the code ADVOCATE15. Thank you so much for listening in. If you've enjoyed this episode, please share it with your friends and on social media, and give me a 5-star rating on whatever podcast platform you're listening on. That helps me and the show out so much. Also, make sure to follow the podcast on Instagram at EverBePodcast. And if you want more content like this and you don't already follow me, you can also follow me on Instagram at mari.c.wagner. And may his praise ever be on our lips. God bless.